Dear friends, we're going to pray now together and say thank you to our gracious God. Let's pray. We're so grateful, Lord, today as we sit here in this beautiful building for the mercy of God. We thank you for your grace and that rich mercy that forgave us for all our sins and through our Lord Jesus Christ has declared us to be righteous. You've taken us and made us children of God. Oh, we're very grateful to you, Lord. We thank you also that you've given us the Bible today and that we have the great joy as a family of learning your word week by week. Thank you for all the Bible studies that are happening during the week. And now this morning, we're here not just to sing and not just to pray but to learn. And you know every one of our hearts, Lord. Each one of us here before you is known to you. You know everything about us. And I want to pray especially for those here today for whom it's tough going at the moment out there, Lord. And I ask that this morning's message may be a source of great encouragement to them particularly. But we pray that it will encourage us also as a family of your people, knowing that my God will supply your every need. And I ask it in the name and for the sake of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Friends, will you open your Bibles? We've been going for many months now through Philippians. And today we're going to come and conclude this wonderful book. So we're in Philippians, and we're in chapter 4, and I'm going to focus on verse 19 today. Philippians chapter 4, and reading from verse 19. And if I may say that to all of us here today, I think we battle to find a more encouraging verse than this particular one for today. We were just glancing through the newspaper yesterday morning, and there was an article, not that I know much about it, on finances and how to cope and how to adjust and how to make out at the end of the month. And they were just commenting on how difficult things are at the moment for you and for me. If you think just recently our petrol price has gone up a considerable amount, hasn't it? 61 cents is quite a big hike. The interest rates have made some hikes this year as well. And with all the power shedding, it's affected life in many, many different ways. But we can cope with that. But the biggest has been the increase in food, hasn't it? And food prices have gone right through the ceiling. And we're just commenting on how the average person, that's little you and me, are finding it not as easy as we used to. Now, against that background, my brothers and sisters, the verse that I leave with you today is a tremendous encouragement. Maybe as we've gone through Philippians, there have been some wonderful things Lord has told us, but this is one verse that you can go and stick up on your fridge and write it in your heart. It's absolutely glorious, and it goes like this. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Will you allow me just for a few minutes to tell a personal story? One shouldn't always do that, but it may just help a little bit. As you, most of you know, I help at a Bible college where we are training missionaries for Africa. I personally believe there's nothing greater that one can do for the mess that we find ourselves in than to training people to go and teach the Bible. And with me leaving Maritzburg, it's meant a massive adjustment because we've had to separate the church from the college. And we picked up a little garage some years ago and we've made that into a beautiful office. But we needed a library. Library is critical. It's very, very important. So I phoned a friend of mine. He's a lovely Christian. He runs a business. And I said, I want you to put up a very nice looking but cheap library. Cheap. Emphasis on the cheap. And so he came up with something. It's just this vibrocrete like you put on your fences. It was put up in 10 days. And it was up painted, electric, plumbing. Everything was up in 10 days. It was fantastic and it looks terrific. But it's very basic. But this is the thing that struck me. When we signed for this, it was going to cost us $100,000 with some friends from America had very kindly helped us get supplied. But as always happens, we went over budget. We were 12,000 rand over budget. Because it was so hot there, we needed to put Think Pink and a whole lot of other things on into it to make it a bit more comfortable. Anyway, so now where are we going to get? We've got no money, no supporters. We just live by faith over these 23 years. And then this happened, just to encourage you. See, we were having chapel 2 weeks ago, and we're just reading through the Bible and praying together. And at the end of that chapel, one of the students that some of you have met, that Korean brother that's been interviewed here, Don Sik, he came up to me and he said, I just want you to stop chapel for a minute. I've got a letter for you. It was a letter from Korea, from a lady by the name of Mrs. Yu, Y-O-O. Never seen her. But she's a marvelous woman, I'm telling you. And she wrote this lovely letter to us and said she hasn't been to South Africa, but she would like to contribute towards our costs. And she thought we may need 12,000 rand. Now, you'll forgive me. I'm telling you, in front of those students, I started to cry out of sheer gratitude to God. He knew. He didn't even give us 12,001 cents. That would have been better. But there was on the nail. And you know what I remembered, friends? And that's what I want to share with you this morning. Is that on a personal level, and for us as a church, one of the most wonderful promises is my God will meet all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, what do we notice in that lovely verse, friends? You'll see from the outline there, five things I'm going to leave with you today. And over lunch, you can debate them and discuss them, but always be encouraged. The first thing you notice is that there is a great need. There's a great need. And an interesting thing needs to be highlighted there for you. Just have a look at your Bible there for a moment. See the very first word, and my God. Why did he put that little word and in at the start? For a very important reason. The connection with verse 19 to the previous verses is this. That the Philippians had really gone out of their way to help the Apostle Paul. But in providing for the Apostle Paul, they had done it to their own impoverishment. So to help them in their need, Paul now gives them this promise. He reassures them that God will meet all their needs as well. So what this verse is holding up for you and for me this morning is a reassurance of the faithfulness of God. That God is faithful. That God will supply all the needs of his children. Now there may be a great need, maybe even for one or two of you right here in our congregation this morning. It may be a temporal need. It could be literally for food. And you don't know how you're going to make till the end of the month. It may be for clothing, or for school fees, or for university fees. It could be a temporal need of ill health. And in one way or another in your family, there's illness and sickness, and the medical bills, and the expenses have just been escalating. Or for one or two of you, it may be problems at business. A couple of our men over the last few months have come to pray with us. Because business is not as good as it was. And so there's a temporal need. It may be very large. It may be very, very pressing and very, very urgent. But today there's a temporal need. Or it may be a spiritual need that you have today. The need for more wisdom. The need for more grace. The need for more love. The need for more faith. The need for more zeal. The need for whatever it is when you look into your own life and you say, I'm not what I ought to be. And there is a great need. A great need. The second thing you need to notice in this section, friends, is that there is a great helper. And my God. My God. It was the God who meant so very much to Paul that Paul now addresses as my God. And that's what he was. He was the God of Paul. And you know that. Remember 2 years ago we went through the Acts. And that's what we saw. It was this God who saved this man. That's where it started. His name was Saul. He was lost. He was without God. And God drew to him and saved him. It was God. God not only saved him, friends, but it was God who for all those years, for the next 30 years after his conversion, who looked after Paul, all his missionary journeys, it was God who provided his every need. He was not only Paul's God, but secondly, he is the God of all grace. All grace. All grace. We are saved by grace and kept by faith and blessed by grace. It's all grace. Unmerited. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. When I went to Bible college, my mom and dad had just given up everything to go into full-time Christian service. They were in their late 50s. They had nothing. They'd given up everything. And I went to Bible college, and I knew my dad couldn't help me. I knew that. He loved me, but he had no money. And I said, well, Dad, let's try. Let's just go and let's just see how it works out. If it's God's will for me to be there somehow or another, folks will help us. I want to tell you, my dear, dear friends, on the first morning of every term for 5 years, there was a receipt in my pigeonhole. Somebody very kindly used to put in it. Those days, that shows you how long ago it was 105 rand for a term. Board and lodging and tuition. That hardly covers the day now, eh? For the university. But you know what? I used to go there and just get a little slip of paper. And what could I do? I used to just drift off there from that lovely place, go down onto the rocks and just say thank you. Thank you that God is such a gracious God, that we deserve nothing, nothing, but he's so good to his children. He's a God of grace. He's the God of heaven. All the riches are in him, and he's the God of all providence. So Jesus said these words. He said, look at the birds flying around. They do not plant seeds, gather a harvest, and put it into barns, and yet your Father in heaven takes care of them. Are you not worth much more than they are? Look at the wild flowers grow. They do not work or make clothes for themselves. But I tell you that not even King Solomon in all his glory had clothes as beautiful as one of these. If God clothes the wild grass, won't He look after you? Are you not worth much more value than they are? Of course you are. Why? Because God is the God of all providence. When the going's tough, maybe the wisest thing we can do is listen to Martin Luther and go outside and just look at those birds and just take a look at those flowers and say, what a God. What a wonderful, wonderful God who provides the needs of His world. And a God here this morning, for us sitting here at the bottom of Africa with all the pressures upon us, we lift up our hearts and say this, my God will meet your needs. God will look after you. So there may be a great need. There's a great helper. Thirdly, notice, there's a great supply. There's a great supply. Listen to what our verse says. My God will meet all your needs. All your needs. We need to say very carefully, as you all know, you're probably waiting for this, that God will not meet every wish, but He will supply every need. The supply from our Father is for all. That's the word to circle. He will meet all your needs. Every one of them. And if I may say with humility this morning, you and I should never ever doubt that ever again because of what God did for our church here last year. I felt it was a miracle of grace right here before our eyes. When the council shared with you the need for such a large gift day of 400,000 rand for Operation Wipeout, you were so kind, friends. Could never thank you enough. But God was so gracious. And we raised that. And more. And now we are able to be involved in all our work that we are wanting to do in planting new churches in Africa, in training and equipping people for gospel ministry, in loving one another. One day, somewhere along the line to put up a little library for you to read, to listen, to study, to grow, to mature, to become equipped. What a great God. Oh, no, that's too large. No, it's not. God says, I promise you, I will meet all your need. Isn't it wonderful to know that? When you and I walk out of our building this morning and we go home with all the pressures that are upon us in our lovely land, God will look after us. There's a great supply. What's the fourth wonderful truth that this word tells us? There are great resources. How does He do this? It is according to His glorious riches. Now, that is amazing. God never promises to you and to me that He will supply our needs out of His riches. The key word there, friends, is according. And for a moment, listen to a great writer. His name is Alec Mottier. Yeah, he put it like this. It was such a blessing to me. He said that all things of personal experience in verse 13 is matched by the every need which might come upon the Philippians or even us. Nothing will prove beyond the capacity of this God, whom Paul knows well enough to call Him my God. He will meet your need to the full, and in so doing, His supply will not be measured according to the dimensions of your need, but rather according to His riches. That means, he says, all the resources of heaven are laid at the disposal of the Christian on earth. Such is the wealth of his supply. It's in proportion to God's infinite resources. God is going to look after us at Christchurch. God is going to look after us as people. God's going to look after us, all those who put their faith and trust in Christ. God is gracious and merciful and faithful in meeting every need of his people every day. It's not measured according to the dimensions of your needs, but rather according to his riches. I'm sure that when the folks laid the foundation of our church many, many years ago, and with all the, and this new building that you put up, I'm sure that you could give story after story after story, as we all can, of how God has been so kind to you and so good. And so for us as a little family, we look to tomorrow with confidence, because God will look after us. He won't give us our wishes, but he will supply our needs. He will never not supply the needs of his children. And then lastly, there is the channel. How is he going to do this? Well, he tells us, according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. This loving care of a faithful God, this glorious help in need, is based on the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Spurgeon is terrific. He's just always spot on when he said, if you wander from Christ Jesus, you depart from the center of bliss. And he's right, isn't it, friends? That everything comes to us in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is in Christ. We come to know God through Christ. We are kept by God in Christ. Everything we need in life is in Christ. Outside of Christ, there's nothing. That's the great channel whereby our God says to you and to me this morning, my God, he will meet all your needs in Christ Jesus. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, let me ask you just two questions and then we'll close in prayer. The one question I ask is there a need in your life today? Is there a need in your life? Temporal need? Is there a need spiritually in your life? Is something that's still not sorted out? And what I'm going to ask us to do in just a moment, we're going to have a few moments just to be quiet, to give you an opportunity to talk to God and to bring your need to him. The other question I'll ask you, if I may, is this. Do you know God as your own Father? Have you come to him through our Lord Jesus Christ? Have you really been converted and saved and been born again? Because if you are not in Christ, then this promise is not for you. That's the challenge, isn't it? It's a promise of a faithful Father to his children. Maybe this morning you need to know that God. Let's come to prayer now together. Just for a few seconds, I want you to close your eyes. I don't want any talking. And I want you quietly to talk to God. Just about what's going on in your life this morning. If there's those needs, I want you to bring it to him. If you're needing to come to the Lord, then you need to call upon Christ even this morning. Oh, gracious and loving and merciful, compassionate, all-providing God, we thank you for that reminder as we close our Philippians this morning, that as we look ahead to the years that lie before us as individuals, as families, as a church family, thank you for the deep assurance that my God will meet all your needs. We pray that instead of worry and stress and concern, you will enable us to trust you and to walk by faith and not by sight, and just to know that you are the same yesterday and today and forever. Lord, as weak as we are, by your grace you've drawn us to Christ. And we want to say how we love you, Lord. And we're so very, very grateful how you've always looked after us over all these years. You've blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Thank you. We want to pray, Lord, if there be any here today who is far away from you, and these great and wonderful promises are foreign to them, God, won't you open their eyes, open their hearts, that they too may come to know Christ. And so we pray together that as we go, you may part us with your blessing. And we ask, Lord, in this coming week, that by your grace, we may be a great blessing to others. Help us not to get caught up with negativity, but rather to see how we can pour the love of God into other people. And so we commit each other to you now, praying that the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will rest and abide upon each one of you, both now and forevermore. Amen.